First thing you may have already seen, but the first place to look here is J. Cross.
Mm.
You're already familiar with J.
Cross. Yeah, click by then.
Yeah, I mean, that's my answer is J. Cross. I'm very much in sync with what Jay has to say on a lot of stuff we've talked about this, and we've met several times about this. And I have some differences with him, but not very many differences. Obviously, learning and work are becoming integrated, learning and life are becoming integrated, and so it becomes two sets of questions. The one set of questions is technological.
Mm.
How do we pull this off? And there are two types of answers to that. The one answer is web services, and the other answer is my kind of answer, which is RSS. So there are actually two flavors of the same answer, really. And the idea is learning content embedded into workplace applications so that you don't need to go somewhere to learn. You don't need to stop what you're doing to learn. The learning becomes part of the use of the thing. So, and this is going to be a long process because there are many ways things can be embedded, but they will be embedded. I've talked lots about learning as being not static things. Back to the librarians again. Learning being but not static things. Learning not being objects, but learning being a type of infrastructure which should flow through an environment the way water or electricity does. And then it becomes a question of the wiring and that kind of infrastructure. And the answer to that is going to be some kind of combination of remote accessing technologies within a range, web services through to REST, representational state transfer, through to RSS, through to the little JavaScript thingies that I write, and so on. It will be a range of these things. And so the idea, the thinking here that needs to happen is pick something, anything, any environment, any place. How would learning work within that thing? I do that all the time. This is where I get all my ideas. Because I just take ordinary, everyday experiences and I say, well, what if we added learning to that? I mean, the way to think of it is any place where there's writing, there could be learning, right? And in fact, we use writing now. It's just all over. Wherever you need it, we have some writing. You know, you need to get out of the building in a hurry. Well, there's probably some writing on the wall that tells you how to do that. So, so you sort of create scenarios. The famous one that I did at networking in 2001 in Brisbane was the fishing rod that teaches you how to fish. Right. And, you know, because you've got your PDA or whatever with you, right, you're wearing some kind of information appliance, and as you come into proximity with that fishing rod realizes that it's in the presence of somebody who has wireless mobile enabled learning. So your fishing rod is ready, and then you cast your rod, and your fishing rod comments, you've never fished before, have you? and on it goes, right? And I can describe that. Another one is coming back from Charlottetown to Moncton. We stopped. There's a little spot. They built a big bridge now to consider an island. And at the base of that bridge, now there's a little village and little tiny shops and things like that. We were in one of these shops and looking at strawberry jam. And there had been people at the conference we attended talking about the marketing of strawberry jam. And I'm thinking about that. And I'm looking at this little thing of strawberry jam. Why doesn't the strawberry jam teach you how to use strawberry jam? Teach you all about strawberry jam. Right? That technology exists today. Right? Stick a little RFID into the label of the strawberry jam. You're, again, wearing your learning appliance. So the RFID contacts your learning appliance, directs your learning appliance to some materials available on the internet related to strawberry jam. Right? Now, that interacts with your personal profile so that, because you don't want to get information only from the strawberry jam company, which is called an advertisement. They tried that with UCAT, didn't work. All right. So it's pulling a wide range of information relevant to you about strawberry jam, because you're currently interested in strawberry jam. We know this because you're holding it, you're looking at it. And so all of this now becomes available to you. So again, it's this idea of thinking about where learning can be applied in the process. So that's the first issue. The key thing, though, is the second issue. This is where Jay and I sometimes cross a little bit. Well, that's kind of a little play on words there. And the issue boils down to this. Who's in control? You have a worker in the workplace who's determining what the learning will be, how the learning will take place, what the learning style will be, so on and so forth. Right? And the thing is, people draw this picture of workplace learning, and it's this command and control model again. Right? And the objectives of this learning are supposed to be in order to improve ROI, in order to improve worker productivity, things like that. Now, that's not what the worker thinks about when the worker goes to work in the chocolate factory. The worker doesn't walk into the door and say, I'm going to improve my ROI today. This is what I want to do today. Mostly that's not what they do. They have other objectives, other things that they have in mind. They have, you know, I'm going to make some money so I can go to the island today, or so on and so forth. So it seems to me that for workplace learning ever to really be effective, as opposed to being marginally effective the way it is today, that it's the same answer as the producing content answer.
Mm.
It has to be something that they would do anyways.
Mm.
Right? It has to be worker-directed. It's in the process of working, but something that they want to do because they get a benefit out of it. So it doesn't make them more productive. It makes the job easier, right? It doesn't serve to increase the ROI. It improves the employability of the person, right? People always talk about workplace learning from the point of view of the benefit of the company, but it's the worker who has to do all the work. So it has to be to the benefit of the worker. So, and the thing is, In a chocolate factory, you will find, I'm sure you did find, people who are genuinely interested in chocolate,
mm-hmm.
and not just the management. I mean, I would consider a career in a chocolate factory. and they want to learn about chocolate, but they want to learn about what interests them about chocolate, not what interests management about chocolate. So, I mean, you can still have workplace learning that is worker-directed, that improves the company bottom line, even though it's not directed by the company. And for those of you who wonder whether I have a consistent theory, this goes right back to what I was saying at the beginning of the day about distributed decision making and getting away from the hierarchical command and control, autonomy, working in clusters, autonomous agents, all that sort of stuff. Same principle. How was that?
Great.
will be a direct cause and effect relationship between never be a direct cause and effect relationship between anything and variables. Because companies aren't simple cause and effect systems. Companies are complex systems. They're ecosystems. The interaction of employees and information and goods and things like that within a company has effectively the same structure as, say, something like a food web. In an ecosystem where you have sharks and barracudas and jellyfish and squid and so on, and you know, you can't simply measure if you do something over here, is it going to have an output there? Because it depends on a broad range of things. So you have to look at it from the perspective going in that you're probably not going to see an ROI. And that kind of kills the measurement.
Okay, to encourage companies that can't do in India, and encourage these.
And now we come into the how do I put this gently part. It's not my fault if companies are stupid. Okay, I can't fix that. Right? If they're still working on a cause effect paradigm to measure the effect of learning on anything, I can't come up with a magical solution that says this is so. And indeed, I will be even taken even further. If that is the principle under which they are operating, then they are probably gradually making themselves less and less competitive. Because they are using an incorrect metric, an incorrect system of measurement in order to assess the effectiveness of their actions. Okay? So, how do you determine an ROI? You model, the best you can do is model the company, create a simulation of your company. Now, of course, you have to sit there and calculate the ROI of the simulation. And the simulation now becomes a variable in your simulation. But we'll leave that aside. Because as much as I love recursion, this isn't the place for it. But if you have the money, you model the company. And try to get as detailed a model as you can, and then you start playing with the inputs. And you may, and you'll get results to within a certain percentage of error, depending on the accuracy of your model. But, I mean, right now, I think that the state-of-the-art of workplace modeling is, well, there is such a state. There is a state-of-the-art, but I don't think it's anything near what we need in order to make reliable predictions. We're still in the world of one model fits all businesses. And, you know, you come up with these business gurus who come up with these models. And say, oh, look at this model. This model will fit everything. And that's how we got total quality management. That's how we got to see about 5 or 6 or 8 or whatever. But, of course, that's not the case. Each company has its own model, its own picture of the knowledge, structure, relations, information flows, and so on. Within each one of these structures, if you tweak the capacity of an employee, it will have a ripple effect. I mean, what's the effect in a company? Let's flip this around. What's the effect in a company of not providing something strictly and solely for the benefit of its workers? There was an interesting article. I don't think I carried it in my newsletter, but there was an interesting article that did a side-by-side comparison between Walmart and Costco in the United States. So Walmart and Costco are pretty much in the same business of selling, big box, sell everything kind of stores.
Big W.
Okay. Sure. So anyhow, Costco employers are paid more. Costco employers are unionized. Costco employees have benefits, like health benefits and that. Walmart, they're paid less. They're non-union. There aren't these benefits, and so on. Guess which store makes more money?
Walmart.
Costco. Mm-hmm. On a per-employee basis, Costco kills Walmart.